This just in, we pass along congratulations to University of Arkansas women's basketball head coach Tom Collin, named the SEC Coach of the Year this morning. Coach, congratulations.
Wow. How about that? That was, I got to tell you, Pat, that came as a surprise to me. You know, they don't give the Coach of the Year award to the fourth place team very often. It's usually reserved for those upper echelons, but I'm excited about it. I'm very proud. And as any good coach will tell you, you know, it's about the kids. They're the ones that went out and won the game. I didn't make a basket all year long. So it's a credit to them and their efforts. And I really applaud them and thank them for helping me win that award.
Did the all conference teams come out yet, Coach? We didn't see that yet.
Yeah, they did. They came out all at the same time. Sierra Ricketts made first team.
All right.
Sarah Watkins made second team. Callie Burnham made the all-freshman team.
All right.
And Julie Inman, one of our seniors, won the award for community service. Like they put together a team, community service team, and she got on there too. So,
Coach,
proud of all of them.
Well, that's great. And I would have. I said earlier we were waiting on the announcement on it, I guess. And I said I expected certainly to have at least one on first and one on second. So that kind of played out like I had expected it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about Callie, because I had the good fortune of calling her last high school game, and of course she had a game-winning three in that one. And but she has blended in. I know you started her some games, and then she's come off the bench in some games, and I know she contributed, you know, a couple of key plays in the win over Tennessee. Can you talk about her growth through the year and what she's meant to your team?
Well, she's just been a difference maker. You know, this is the exact same team as last year with the addition of two people, her and Dominique Robinson, who redshirted last year, and they've both just had impacts. Callie's impact has been, I think, very subtle. I think if you've watched this kid play over the years in high school, you see the things that she brings to the table. It's one of the reasons why we wanted her so badly. And the same thing now. You know, she doesn't put up big numbers. I'm not sure. She might have had her first game of her career, she might have had double digits, and she hasn't had double digits since then. So she doesn't flash those things at you, but she takes care of the ball. She's got a great assist turnover ratio. She makes big shots. She's deceptively good on defense. She might be our best help defender on our team. And so she does all those little things that make a big difference for you. And I don't think we'd be where we were at if we didn't have her in our program right now.
Who's emerged as the leader throughout the season?
Well, Lindsay Harris has always been our leader. Her and Ashley Daniels have been captains the last couple of years. You know, Lindsay had a real challenge with herself. Injuring her knee in the SEC tournament last year and couldn't really participate, had to rehab all summer. In the fall, couldn't be out there on the court with them. And that was a real challenge for her to try to figure out, how do I lead when I'm not out there? And, you know, when we started the year, Callie started for us, and we were really trying to limit Lindsay's minutes. We didn't want to wear her down or re-injure her. And then when we got a couple games into the SEC, we put her back into the starting lineup. And I would say she has always been our leader, but her leadership abilities reemerged. And that was a big difference maker for us when we put that string together of eight wins. So she's probably been the biggest one. And Ashley Daniels, you know, has done a nice job. And, you know, Sierra Ricketts, who is by nature not a leader. But slowly but surely, she's accepted more her senior year, been a little more vocal, a little less frustrated at times, not always, but a little less, and she's done a good job as well.
Tom Collin joining us in the zone, and as we mentioned earlier, named SEC Women's Basketball Coach of the Year, and appropriately so, and they will begin the SEC tournament tomorrow against Ole Miss, and let's talk a little about the matchup, Coach, against the 12 seed in the tournament.
Well, you know, I'm sure one of the things that you recognize that happens right off the bat is once you beat Tennessee at Tennessee, then I think the expectation is you're going to beat everybody.
Yeah.
And we you know, found that out quickly that playing another top 25 team at South Carolina, we got knocked down. And I look at Ole Miss as the same way. You know, they're the 12 seed and we're the 5, and we're supposed to win, but they beat us the last time we played. And that, so it doesn't matter. They know how to play against us. We didn't play particularly well there. It was our fourth SEC loss to open the season, so we weren't playing with a lot of confidence. But nonetheless, their kids think they can beat us. They've recently kind of rolled their youth movement out. They realize There's nothing to salvage in the season other than getting all their freshmen on the floor. And so they're all out there together, and they're up and down. But they're really oblivious to pressure. They're playing for next year. So they have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I think it's going to be a good ball game for us.
I know you can't look ahead, but we get to because we're in the media and we don't actually have to coach or play. But
right.
split with LSU, and it was kind of a unique deal. You guys lost in Fayetteville to them, in the last couple of weeks, and then blew them out in Baton Rouge. So how would you feel about that matchup, and what kinds of things does LSU present as far as difficult matchups and things?
Well, I mean, I like the bracket. You know, we would have rather had the bye, but if we can find a way to get past the Ole Miss, LSU is a team that they're not going to play a real up-tempo game. And when you get into a tournament, you have to play back-to-back games. The last thing you would want to have to do is say to play a team like Kentucky right out of the chute, who sprints up and down the floor and maybe, you know, wears you out a little bit after playing a game. But so they're a little bit more of a half-court team, which is good. Their point guard play is their biggest issue right now because they lost her a couple games into the SEC. We play one of our best games of the year down there. They play a lot of matchup zone, and we just shot the heck out of the ball down there, and that's how we won. And when we come up here, they play that same matchup zone. They tweaked it a little bit, spread it out a little bit so we didn't get those easy three looks, and we couldn't hardly throw the ball in the basket. So, but it's a good matchup, you know, but it would come down to our ability to take care of the ball and make shots against their matchup zone probably.
Let me take you back a little while here. You guys start the conference schedule 0-4, and of course three of those losses were to the top three seeds in the conference, so I guess it's not completely outside the realm of possibilities that would happen to anybody. But what happened between those first four games and then you guys go on that 8-game tear that you referenced? But was it one thing that clicked on, or did you guys just keep doing what you were doing?
Well, I don't think we changed anything. I think we talked in the preseason and somewhat prepared them for the fact that our first three games were going to be tough and that we had to find a way to bounce back. And if we could do that, we could go one game at a time and we could play with or beat anybody. Obviously, we went down to Ole Miss in the fourth game. It was our third road game in four. And you know what? We started well. We had the game under control. And then started turning the ball over. They got on a run, got some runouts on us. And you could see that maybe that little bit of lack of confidence wasn't there. You know, so we go into that next game against Auburn and we find a way to win. It wasn't a pretty win. It was a closer game than the score indicated, 20 points, but we found a way to win. So that made us feel good. Then we beat another team, and then we beat a Vanderbilt team, who we haven't beaten since I've been here, and we beat them handily by 20. So I think the confidence just grew. I think their belief in that they really are one of the best four teams in the league, and that start just was not indicative of who they are. And they kind of went out and proved it to themselves. And I'm as proud of heck of them. I don't think I've ever had a team start 0-4 in conference play and then, you know, end up winning 10 of their last 12 games.
Coach Tom Collin joining us in the zone. Coach Justin referenced it about not wanting to look forward, but we can, and we love it. And we were talking earlier about the possibility of playing in Little Rock for the NCAA tournament. Have you thought about that, and also the importance of your seeding and where you land?
Yeah, I mean, you don't not think about it. I don't think we haven't talked to the kids much about it. You know, I think
it'd be pretty cool though, wouldn't it?
It would be great. I tell you what, it would be great for our fans, and I know that they would respond if we got sent there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the experts that are out there putting the field together right now, on the men's side it's Joe Minardi, and he's on ESPN every night now. And on the women's side, it's a guy named Charlie Cream. When he picks it, he doesn't have us there. And when you talk about the bracket and how hard it is to put the bracket together, you start to realize why it might not be a place where we land, even though we want to land there. And I think there's a pretty good chance that, for example, Baylor is going to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. And they've got to go someplace close by, and they've got to be protected. And their options are either to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and mm-hmm. play against LSU on their home floor, which I don't think the committee is going to do that to them, or to send them to Little Rock. And they're the same distance away, and then they can just fill that Little Rock with maybe not teams that they think are going to upset Baylor. As well, so it would mean we'd have to fall to an 8-9, you know, which we don't want to do.
Yeah, right.
And so the age-old question is, do you want to fall to an 8-9 to go to Little Rock, or do you want to be a 4-5-6 and go someplace where, you know, you've got maybe a little bit better chance at victory? And who knows the answer to that, Pat? I couldn't tell you.
Well,
it'd be great to play in front of our fans if we could.
Yeah, thinking about past NCAA tournaments that I've been a part of, you know, the problem with the 8-9 game is you win and you got to play the one seed, which would probably be Baylor. So, you know, in a way, when you look at it, you almost want to get slotted to where you're going to be matched up against that two seed somehow. You know, when you play your way through.
You said slotted, right?
Slotted.
You know, right now, when you look at it right now, they've got a slotted as a five seed, which that's tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not in the top 20 right now, and it would be somewhat vindication for the fact that I felt like this team deserved to be in the top 25. But when you look at our RPI record and our resume, we probably are one of the 20 best teams in the country, and to get a five seed would be great. But now, in order to do that, I think we're going to have to keep winning. I don't think, you know, we can go down and stub our toe in the first round at Little Rock. Otherwise, we're going to fall to a 6 or a 7, and who knows? And,
right.
And I don't want to fall to an 8-9, to be honest with you, just to go to Little Rock.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, so it's hard to say. It's all part of the excitement of March Madness, isn't it? It's like people start talking about it like a month before the selection, and then they talk about how this team didn't get a fair shake and that team. It all kind of feeds into that monster that makes it such a special time of the year.
You know, I got confused by Pat's accent there for a second, Coach. You know, he's got that Boston in him, so I couldn't tell if he was saying slotted or slaughtered. And so when you're talking about Baylor, I mean, slaughtered's a word that gets thrown around a lot, certainly. And I remember when you came in and you talked about building a national reputation and getting this team to a nationally competitive level. And certainly it's been fun watching the progression. And like you said, as you guys are certainly well-regarded as one of the top 20, 25 teams right now, you know, you guys are kind of there. I mean, is this the vision you had when you came in?
Oh, I think so. I mean, but I think we got to build on it. You know, I talked to the kids the other day before practice. You know, this is really the beginning. I mean, you can't sit back for the remainder of the season and rest on your laurels and say, okay, hey, we reached our goal. We're going to the NCAA. Hey, and we beat Tennessee at Tennessee. So, and in the meantime, the weather's 70 degrees outside and everybody else is getting ready to go on spring break. And you're thinking about that kind of thing as opposed to, hey, let's go win the SEC tournament. Let's go get a great seed. Let's go to the Sweet 16. You know, let's set a record for the most wins in program history. And so I'm trying to kind of keep them focused on that. And that's all part of the building block, you know, and as good as we've done this year, we don't want to be remembered for the team that then didn't do very well at the end. And if we want to keep building the program, we've got to finish strong, and we got to do it again next year and the next year and kind of build on that. So it's a process, you know, it rarely happens overnight. And in our case, it didn't, but we feel like we're headed in the right direction now.
Coach, certainly the best teams are able to recruit in-state and out-of-state. Let me ask you about, I guess, chasing in-state talent. 4 Arkansans on your roster right now, and I know you can't get into specifics, but, I mean, just talk about that. And, hey, Phil, high school basketball, as far as the ladies go, is, you know, holding its end up for you guys.
Well, we feel like we want to get the best kid in Arkansas every year. We feel like we got the best kid this year in Melissa Wolf, who plays down at Cabot. You know, we'll see how our team does in the state tournament. They're one of the favorites, but there's certainly teams that they've got to play against that are pretty good as well. So that'll be a challenge for them. The 2013 class in Arkansas is a tremendous class, either through Arkansas kids or a few kids that border Arkansas, like a Texarkana or someplace like that. Those kids play on AAU programs within the state. And so it's maybe the greatest class ever, and so you want to be able to sign, you know, 2 or 3 of those kids, and hopefully this momentum that we've got now is coming at the right time, and those kids will be, you know, influenced by that and see that we're one step closer, and that they want to be a part of that, you know, taking Arkansas to the Final Four instead of joining a program that's already played in the Final Four that looks more attractive right now this second.
Yeah, you picked a good time to get good, for sure. I mean, you guys picked a great time to have a great year, without a doubt. Now, Coach, there have been schools, two in the state that I can think of, UCA and Arkansas both, have had football players come over and play basketball and actually have contributed in a big way. We saw Brandon Mitchell last night for the men helping Coach Anderson's team. Are you starting to look around at some other women's sports on campus to see if there's anybody that might be able to help you?
Well, I don't think there is anybody right now. You know, we always go out there and recruit, and when we find athletes that play two sports.
Coach, Mike Conley's got a daughter up there that plays track, though, right?
Plays track?
Yeah, but she's going to Alabama, though. She's going to Alabama to run track.
Well, I thought I read she's got another one up there.
Just recently. She just signed already. So.
Okay.
I guess the key for you is making sure the soccer coach doesn't come after Kelsey Hatcher.
Well, you don't want that. You don't want that. And, you know, I tell you, a kid who started out with us, who's great, going great guns right now, is Kristen Gillespie. She came to us as a walk-on and also as a track athlete for Coach Harder. And she just qualified out. And I think she's going to be a national contender in a couple events in the indoor meet this spring. So, you know, some athletes do cross over, and it works out fine. It's pretty hard, though, at this level.
What are your plans for the high school tournament? You guys going to be able to send somebody to watch these games here in the next couple of weeks?
The hardest thing right now is these regional, I guess I consider these regional games, and then the state is just the championship game. But
it'd be a lot easier if it was in the metro.
It always conflicts with the SEC tournament. It does every single year. So, you know, we're heading down there, and, of course, we want to stay there and play as long as we can. But the one thing we've promised all the coaches and the kids is the minute we get knocked out, we'll be on the plane home, and we'll scatter, and we'll be at it as many games as we can.
Yeah, that's got to be tough for you. I can remember – it might have been last year or the previous year, Coach Pelfrey, they had just lost their first-round SEC.
It was last year.
It was last year, first-round SEC game, and you know the heat was on him, and he showed up in Hot Springs.
Oh, yeah. I sat there beside him for a while. We flew down there together because we had kids playing. That was when Callie Berta played, you know, and got to watch her, and then he had a lot of kids playing in that one class. And
yeah, Hunter was playing against – that was the game they lost in the state
tournament. And that one doesn't conflict so bad. You know, we always find a way to make it to that. It's just these regional games right now that we really would like to go out and see because we can watch, you know, a couple games at a time.
Right.
Coach, I know – I appreciate your time. We've had you on here for long, and you get a lot to do, but I do got to ask you about one of your assistant coaches, your wife.
Yeah.
The relationship.
She's done a tremendous job. You know, she stepped in and had to fill big shoes with Coach Eatman, who was my defensive coordinator. And, you know, she earned the respect of the kids. And slowly but surely, we've built a really good foundation with our defense. In fact, I'd say that our defense has really been the strength of this team that's been pretty constant all year long. The shooting very much comes and goes for us, which has been a struggle at times. But she's done a great job. You know, we try not to fight too much at home. You know, we can't always not disagree a little bit at times. But we've worked together before, and it's worked out well this year.
Do you have a no-business rule?
I'm glad to have her. I'm going to have to share this Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That's smart if you want to keep peace at home. I mean, is there a no-business rule at home or anything, or is it whatever?
It's almost impossible to do. We go home, and we run around with the kids and do all their activities and put them to bed, and then by 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, we're both sitting there with our laptops watching video, talking to each other about basketball. Man. So,
how many kids do you have, Coach?
We have three. We got three kids under six, too. 6-year-old twins and then a 4-year-old.
How do you handle it?
Wow.
My goodness. And you're such a – it amazes me. I was at your practice after you guys lost to LSU at home, and your demeanor was just so calm, cool, collected. You could see that the girls took that approach to, you know, their attitude was mm-hmm. still kind of – they knew it wasn't the end of the world. Would you get three young kids at home – coaching a team.
Yeah, coaching should be easy after that, right?
Your wife is right there next to you. I mean, you can't get away from her. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I'm going to be ready for a vacation when it's all said and done. Believe me, when we finally get out of here, we go find a beach somewhere in the Caribbean and relax for about 7 or 10 days. So, but you know, right now it's just you find it's amazing how you find a way. You know, when you first have children. You know, you're exhausted. I mean, you're exhausted with them because they're up at night, they're babies, and the feedings and the change in the diapers. But what everybody says is you just find a way. You know, God blesses you with somehow. He gets you through it. And there's days when it feels like that for me as well. But, you know, they're all a blessing. My players and coaching at Arkansas is a blessing. My wife's a blessing and having her on staff. My children are blessings because they keep me young. And so it wears you down. but it all comes back and it's all good in the end.
Yeah, it's some kind of success. You have your wife on staff, SEC Coach of the Year. You guys are in prime position. You have the Cooks gymnastics. They're number one in the country. And so I think you might want to suggest Coach Anderson and Petrino hire their wives to get on staff to win a couple championships.
I think that'll be a bit of a stretch.
Hey, Coach,
have a hard time getting Bobby to bring his wife in the office as much as he loves her to death.
Yeah. I've seen Coach Anderson's wife during games. She's the head coach.
She's ready?
She's the head coach, okay. She was behind the bench at Auburn, too. She's something else.
She's working. All right. Well, Coach, listen, good luck tomorrow. We're certainly proud to air the game here on the Buzz. 6:30 tip against Ole Miss, and we hope to have you again on Friday at 6:30 again against LSU. But good luck, and we'll catch up with you again maybe after the SEC tournament before you get ready for the NCAAs.
All right. Sounds good. Good visiting with you guys.